The stage is now being set for the Ezekiel invasion. You say, I've long said that there is a good possibility that the Ezekiel invasion may take place prior to the beginning of the tribulation period, perhaps as much as 3.5 years prior. And then you say, as you know, a precondition of this invasion is that Israel must be living in peace and security. You're taking that from Ezekiel 38. Anybody who's watched the various ceremonies from Deal of the Century, and much more recently now, the Abraham Accords, we all heard peace and security, peace and safety tossed out a half a dozen or more times, and I'm sure that got your attention too.
It did get my attention. The thing of it is, when you look at Ezekiel, we see such a wonderful pattern unfolding, and I say wonderful only in the sense that it shows God's sovereign control over human history. As you know, Ezekiel prophesied that Israel would be reborn as a nation. That happened in 1948. Then Ezekiel prophesied that Jewish people from all over the world would stream back to Israel. That's been happening ever since 1948, and it's never happened before in biblical history, but it's happening now. And then Ezekiel said that there would arise a mighty coalition that would invade Israel. That includes Russia and Iran and Turkey, Sudan, Libya, and a number of other Muslim nations. But the precondition is peace and security for Israel. So as soon as these peace accords were signed, that's one of the first things I wrote you about and said, you know, this seems to be opening up the door for the possibility of the Ezekiel invasion. I believe, Jan, that the Ezekiel invasion will actually open up the door for other prophecies to be fulfilled. Can I tell you about some of them?
Yes, and let me just throw this out for you to please include in your discussion, because we've got Isaiah 17, and that's the obliteration of Damascus, and I would think those two events could happen close to one another.
Well, they could. In terms of the Ezekiel invasion and other prophetic events, I think that once this invasion takes place and God destroys the invading Muslim armies, at that point it will be much easier for the Jewish people to rebuild their temple. After all, God will have destroyed these Muslim invaders and Muslim resistance will be non-existent. Now, that doesn't mean God is going to destroy all the Muslims, but the Muslim armies will be taken out, and that means that the Muslim resistance will be just much less, and it will be much easier to rebuild the temple at that point. I also believe that once God destroys these invaders, it will be much easier for the Antichrist to rise to global power. The backdrop to my comment, Jan, is that the Muslims have long wanted to establish a global caliphate. They want Islam to control the world. They want Sharia law to control the entire planet. But with the Muslim armies being destroyed at the Ezekiel invasion, the Antichrist can now step onto center stage during the tribulation period and quickly rise to world dominion without resistance. Finally, there is the rise of the false religion of the end times during the tribulation period. Keep in mind that Christians have already been raptured before the tribulation period. Well, now the Muslim armies will have been destroyed prior to the tribulation period, if indeed the Ezekiel invasion takes place then. And that means that the two primary groups who would have resisted the emergence of a false religion are now taken out of the way. So everything starts to become very easy. It almost like greases the skids for the emergence of all these other prophecies and the fulfillment of these other prophecies. If it doesn't take place before the tribulation period, Jan, then I would say that it takes place at the very beginning of the tribulation. Either way, I think it happens early on. Like I said, when I saw these peace accords being signed, it's like, finally, wow, this seems to be opening up the door for this to happen all the sooner. And that's where it starts to get exciting for me personally as a Christian, because I also believe that the rapture takes place before that Ezekiel invasion.
Okay, Ron, but I think you have the Ezekiel invasion of Israel sort of any day, because of the fact that the Jews will be burning weapons for 7 years. Am I right?
Well, that's right. We know from Scripture that once God destroys the invaders, Israel will take those weapons and burn them for 7 years. One of the reasons for that is that combustible things will be at a minimum in the tribulation. I say that because due to wars and the outbreak of different battles and wars around the world, we read about how the grass and the trees will be burned up during the tribulation period, and they're going to want to have anything they can that can burn. Here's the problem. If the Ezekiel invasion takes place right at the beginning of the tribulation period, how is it possible that the Jews could burn those weapons for the entire duration of those 7 years? I say that because at the midpoint of the tribulation, when the Antichrist moves into Jerusalem and sets up his headquarters there, claims to be God, and Jesus tells those Jewish people, get out of town right now. Mm-hmm. Don't even go into your house and grab your belongings. Get out now, because it's a life and death matter. If you try to go get your belongings, you might die. So how would it be possible for them to grab all those weapons that they would want to burn for the rest of the 3.5 years? to me, it might make good sense to say that the Ezekiel invasion happens maybe 3.5 years before the tribulation, and that means that the Jewish people would actually be done burning those weapons by the midpoint of the tribulation.
Mm-hmm. You're listening to Understanding the Times Radio. Jim Merkel have on the line Dr. Ron Rhodes, and we're carrying one of his books, 40 Days Through Revelation, Uncovering the Mystery of the End Times. I want to play a real quick clip. This happens to be Dr. Rhodes on the John Ankerberg program talking about the Gog and Magog invasion.
You mentioned the Ezekiel 38 passage. There's questions from people in our audience about what is the Ezekiel 38 war and what is this thing in the millennial kingdom, the war of Gog and Magog there? What are we talking about?
I'll take the first part. The Ezekiel invasion involves an invasion in which there's going to be a northern coalition, a northern military coalition made up of Rosh, which I believe is Russia, and there's going to be a number of Muslim nations that join in with this, including Turkey and Iran and Sudan and Libya and some of the area around the Black and Caspian Seas, Afghanistan and Turkmenistan and some of those stand nations. They're going to join together into a massive invasion into Israel. Now, if you consider the small, teeny piece of real estate that is Israel versus the massive amount of Arab real estate, you'll quickly see that Israel stands no chance of surviving that. But what the text of Scripture tells us is that God himself will be the defender of Israel, and he'll destroy the invaders in several ways. For example, he's going to cause a massive earthquake that does a great deal of damage. He's going to cause friendly fire where they start shooting each other. It may be that the Russians and the Muslims start fighting each other, for example, suspecting double cross. There's going to be like a plague that breaks out. Just a variety of things like that happen that decimates this invading force. For that reason, I think it's safe to say that the Muslim forces will be decimated. That doesn't mean there won't be any more Muslims. There will be some Muslims left, but the invading forces will be completely destroyed. That may relate to the easy rebuilding of the Jewish temple. It may relate to the easy emergence of the one world religion, because both Christians and Muslims would stand against that. And if Christians have been raptured and Muslims have been destroyed, well, they're out of the way now, you see. That's kind of the way that I see it.
Ron, a lot of things jumped out at me at that little clip, but the thing that jumped out the most is basically Israel stands no chance in this battle except for God. That is so true, but I don't think people have the concept of Gog Magog, Ezekiel 38-39 war, as being so drastic that she stands no chance unless God intervenes.
Keep in mind also, Jan, that Israel stands alone.
True.
I would love to be able to read in the biblical text that the United States...
we intervene, but later. We don't.
We don't. Israel stands completely alone. And I often refer to God's deliverance of Israel as deliverance part two. You'll remember that earlier, God delivered Israel from Egyptian bondage, and that was a mighty deliverance. Israel's going to be attacked by this massive northern coalition, and we are going to witness deliverance part two. Now, you might remember that when God delivered Israel from the Egyptians, God said on a number of occasions, that you may know that I am the
right.
Lord God and there is no one like me in all the earth. Guess what? God is going to say the exact same thing when he delivers Israel from
True.
This massive northern coalition. God is going to say that you may know that there is no one like me in all the earth. Imagine the Muslim invaders rushing toward Israel, shouting out, Allah Akbar, glory to Allah. They're shouting that as they rush toward Israel to destroy it. God himself destroys these invaders, and then God says that you may know that I am Yahweh, and that there is no one like me in all the earth. God gives a mighty demonstration of his power, and that is no doubt one of the reasons, among a number of reasons, why there will be people who actually become believers in the Lord during the tribulation period.
I want to go back a little bit to the more recent Abraham Accords. And for that matter, we can throw in the so-called deal of the century. This took place last January, but the Abraham Accords here much more recently. Do they possibly relate to 1 Thessalonians 5? There we see, and for you yourselves are fully aware that the day of the Lord will come like a thief in the night. And while they are saying there is peace and security, sudden destruction will come upon them. As labor pains come upon a pregnant woman, and they shall not escape. And you said to me in some correspondence we had, Ron Rhodes, that the sudden destruction, it's probably the tribulation, and people will be basking in the glow of peace and safety, and then the tribulation period suddenly begins. And this makes total sense.
It makes a lot of sense to me. The reference to the day of the Lord in that passage, I believe, refers to the tribulation period and beyond. It includes all the way through the millennium, for example, but it begins with the tribulation period. And so as people are basking in the glow of that peace and security, all of a sudden everything goes haywire. One of the things I like to emphasize to people, and this is something that is underemphasized in prophecy today, is the suddenness of the unfolding of prophetic events.
And we can talk about that. Suddenly countless people have died. The virus, suddenly our economy was made to reel. Suddenly resources vanished. The rapture of the church will be sudden in the twinkling of an eye. But go ahead, talk to me about it.
Yeah, it's such a short time span, it seems like, that everything went wrong in the United States. I mean, it seems like 6 months ago, everything was going pretty well.
Mm-hmm.
And look at us today. It's almost like we've entered a surreal version of reality.
Right.
Like a parallel universe that's just really bad. We've gone from civil order to civil chaos.
Mm-hmm.
We've gone from honoring the law to utter lawlessness. We've transitioned from recognizing the need for government to complete anarchy in certain parts of the country.
Mm-hmm.
We've transitioned from viewing police as much-needed restraints against criminals to the absolute delusion that we can live without police, and look how fast that happened.
It happened suddenly.
And that's just the way that prophecy is, too. 1 Thessalonians 5:3 says, while people are saying peace and safety, sudden destruction will come upon them. And then in Revelation 1, verse 1, it talks about the revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave him to show his servants the things that must soon take place. The Greek word for soon there carries the idea of rapid or quickly. When you start to see some of the things in Revelation take place, it's going to all happen very, very fast. The rapture is going to be sudden. Nobody's going to expect it.
Mm-hmm.
And the scripture says that in the blink of an eye, the rapture of the church is going to happen. I am warning people about this because a lot of people are assuming they've got plenty of time to deal with things on this earth. You may not. You don't know how long you're going to live. We don't even know how long America's going to exist. I mean, the way things are going right now.
Right.
And you got to keep in mind that what we're witnessing in county after county across the United States, it's like a cancer. And if a cancer is allowed to grow, it spreads. And it keeps on spreading until you excise it. Eventually, it kills everything. Now, here's something else to think about, Jan. When the rapture of the church happens, things are going to get geometrically worse.
Mm-hmm.
You see, the Holy Spirit restrains evil. That's one of the ministries of the Holy Spirit, according to the book of Genesis. But also, the church restrains evil. And once the church is gone, once the restrainer, known as the Holy Spirit, is removed from the scene, all this stuff is going to have no restraint. And you talk about anarchy? There's going to be massive anarchy, but that opens the door for a strong man to come in. And that strong man's waiting in the wings, and we know him to be the Antichrist. And he will suddenly impose a global government. To me, what we're witnessing today is stage setting for what we're going to witness during the tribulation period.
There is a covenant that's going to be signed. It's the covenant of Daniel 9:27, and that's the covenant the Antichrist actually signs with Israel. I think we need to clarify, Ron, that these Abraham Accords, the deal of a century, maybe there's going to be another peace deal come along here in the coming weeks and months. My understanding is many other Arab nations are going to be signing on to these peace deals, that these deals, they're not the covenant of Daniel 9:27. That is with the Antichrist. It says in Daniel 8 of the Antichrist, by peace he shall destroy many. And that's the Antichrist during the tribulation. I think one question would be, so how does that apply to today? And do we therefore view all peace treaties as diabolical? There are some good things that are coming from these peace deals, at least as it concerns Israel and trade and being able to fly into these other nations, etc. But these Arab nations in the Mideast are making peace with Israel, I believe, for one reason alone. It's not because they suddenly have a fondness for the Jews. It's because they're terrified of Iran. This is simply an anti-Iranian coalition banding together, because Iran's going to have the bomb here any day. But Ron, we need to clarify that what we're seeing is not Daniel 9:27. Probably has nothing to do with Daniel 9:27 unless it's a precursor. I don't know about that. Could be.
You're right. And certainly we all pray for the peace of Jerusalem.
Yes.
So when we see any movement towards peace, I mean, that's a good thing, and we should all want that. I hate the idea that people kill each other, and I hate the idea that countries launch attacks against other countries. And anything that stops that from happening, even if just for a while, is a good thing. Certainly, we're in favor of any kind of a peace accord that can stop the violence for a while. But you're right, this is not the covenant that's prophesied in Daniel 9:27. And I say that for several reasons. First of all, it will be the Roman Antichrist
that
signs the covenant in Daniel 9:27. We know he will be Roman because Daniel 9:26 affirms that he will be of the people that destroyed Jerusalem and its temple. That's the Roman Empire. And so the Antichrist, who will head up the revived Roman Empire, will be the one who signs this ultimate covenant that is referenced in Daniel 9:27. And I think, personally, to say that an American president fulfills this prophecy would basically involve reading newspapers into prophetic scripture.
Sure.
We don't want to do that. We do want to pay attention to what's going on in the world, but what we want to do is to learn what prophecy says and then watch for legitimate correlations in the world. If, in fact, this is not the covenant of Daniel 9:27, how might it relate to the present peace accords? How might the Daniel 9:27 covenant relate to the Abraham Accords? There's any number of possibilities. It could be setting the stage for this ultimate covenant in the future. But another possibility is this. What if the Abraham Accords primarily deal with some of the softer Arab nations that are not so hateful of Israel, whereas the other nations, like Iran as an example, hold their line against Israel? They are hardliners. They've always expressed a hatred for Israel. They've signed a long-term military agreement with Russia for 25 years. They give $500 million a year to Russia to build up their forces. They've made no hiding the fact that they want to attain nuclear weapons. So this would be an example of a Arab nation that will resist the Abraham Accords. This is one scenario. One scenario is that while the Abraham Accords deal with certain nations that are softer, maybe the Antichrist's covenant becomes necessary because the hardliners are still around threatening Israel. And I personally believe, Jan, that when it makes reference in Daniel 9:27 to the Antichrist's strong covenant, that it will be a covenant backed by the military might of the Roman Empire. The Antichrist may stipulate to people, if you attack Israel, any of you hardliners, if any of you attack Israel, you will suffer the might of the revived Roman Empire. So it's a strong covenant that is enforced by the military might of the Roman Empire. The reason why that might be necessary is simply because there's still going to be anti-Israel terrorists. Look at what some of the Palestinian terrorists are saying today.
Right.
They're saying that this peace accord is nonsense. They want Israel to be destroyed. They don't want to have two states next to each other. They want Israel back. They want to push Israel into the sea, and they want the entire land.
Ron, if I could just interject here just momentarily, because I don't want to break your flow of conversation. With all the consternation about so-called two-state solution on the horizon, I don't see that happening this side of the tribulation. I just don't, because of what you've just said. Israel does not have a peace partner over there. It's not going to happen.
No, it's not. And anything that we do right now, I think, is kind of a Band-Aid fix. But it's one thing to say that some of these nations are signing a peace agreement, like Bahrain, for example.
Yeah.
But when you're talking about Iran and other nations like that, you're talking about something entirely different. I know I've read the newspaper saying that Iran's going to come to the table, but just look at the recent headlines between the United States and Iran.
Not going to happen.
Things are not good right now, and I don't think things are going to get good. And I think that there's the real possibility. Let's not forget Russia and Russia's role in all of this. Russia has already worked with Muslim nations against Israel. A lot of people don't think about this, but the precedent has already been set back in 1973. When some Muslim Arab nations attacked Israel, who was it that was providing the weaponry?
Yeah.
Who was it that was providing the intelligence? It was the Russians working in conjunction with Muslim nations against Israel. That's just one example I could give you. There's others I could give you. But the fact of the matter is that all of this is setting the stage for Russia to work with Iran and other like-minded Muslim nations in launching this attack against Israel. My point is, no matter what happens today with the peace accord, this invasion is coming. I'm not going to set a date. The scripture tells us not to set dates, but scripture does tell us that this invasion will, in fact, take place one day. And it seems to me that what we're witnessing on the geopolitical scene today in the Middle East is that the stage is being set for that invasion. And I say that primarily because Russia, right now, is making alliances with Iran and a number of other major Muslim nations.
Yes, Turkey.
Yeah, Turkey. Just think about that, Dan. It used to be that Turkey was so pro-West. Remember when the coup d'etat was launched against President Erdogan in Turkey, who was it that saved his skin? It was Vladimir Putin. Vladimir Putin told them 1 hour ahead of the attempted coup d'etat to get out of the palace, and the next morning, President Erdogan of Turkey went on national television and called Vladimir Putin his new best friend. And I think that kind of a mentality is going to continue. Russia is making big-time headways over in the Middle East.
We're trying to look at the prophecy angle as it concerns Abraham Accords, Deal of the Century, Daniel 9:27, etc., even though we don't see a real correlation between these accords and Daniel 9:27. But Ezekiel 38:13, Sheba and Dedan, the merchants of Tarshish and all their young lions will say, "Have you come to take plunder? Have you gathered your army to take booty, to carry away silver and gold, livestock and goods, to take the great plunder?" So I just want to identify who these might be. The passage probably refers to Saudi Arabia, Sheba and Dedan. Under the banner of Dedan, the Saudis are assembled alongside Sheba. These are probably Gulf states. Then we hear of Tarshish, the United Kingdom, probably, and the Young Lions, which would be offshoots such as America, perhaps Canada. The only reason I'm bringing this up, Ron, is here we have Saudi Arabia and the Gulf states are protesting the Russian invasion of Israel, or Gog Magog, because there's other nations involved here, as we've already said. We've got Saudi Arabia and the Gulf states protesting. That never would have happened 5 years ago or 10 years ago. It looks like it could happen now at this point. We don't see any great power to the West protesting, such as America, because we'll have blended into probably Europe for government by that time. But we've got the Gulf states protesting.
That's right. And it gets back to what I said earlier. I believe that God is shaping the Middle East for the future. Now, Iran, they've got their eyes intent on becoming the superpower of the Middle East. And they've got the money to do it, Jan. They're hurting financially because of the policy of the United States in withholding goods, and they've tried to make this a global thing. As you know from just recent news, that's about to stop with a lot of the world. But the United States is still taking a strong stand in terms of Iran. But the fact is, God is shaping the Middle East for what the future holds. And I believe that Iran is probably the major player along with Russia in terms of this invasion that will take place into Israel. Now, here's something to keep in mind, Jan, because I always make this point when I do prophecy conferences. Modern Iran is ancient Persia, right?
Correct.
When you look at ancient Persia, the borders of Persia extend much further to the west and much further to the east than modern Iran. It's my personal belief, therefore, that when it talks about Iran as being the partner of Russia in this invasion, that also includes the Muslim territories to the east and the west of Iran, as presently we see Iran on the map. I believe that the other nations that join in are going to be smaller, weaker nations. For example, the Stan nations that I've made reference to, Turkmenistan and Afghanistan and so forth, all the nations around the Black and the Caspian Seas, they will join in. If Turkey joins in, which is very clear because there's a number of names used in Ezekiel 38 to refer to Turkey, so Turkey's going to be another major player. But these are the nations that are going to be primarily involved in the Ezekiel invasion, despite the fact that there are certain other nations that have signed, for example, the Abraham Accords. So there is division in the Middle East right now. Like I said, God is shaping the Middle East for what is yet to come. Maybe we haven't arrived there just yet as to what the Middle East is going to look like during the tribulation period. But what we see unfolding today is setting the stage for all of it. I can't help but just be excited by the reality that if we see all this taking place with the Middle East, that means that the rapture of the church is that much nearer.